Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We can talk about slamming the door shut, but the bottom line is the Milwaukee Bucks kicked it wide open last night. They even the series at 2-2, and so now we got to figure out who the hell has control as we go forward. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, co-host of Sports Nation on ESPN Plus, filling in for Janae Agumake today. And Trev, we have really, amongst other things, because we're getting back to the blaming Chris Paul portion of our NBA news cycle here, which is healthy. This is, you know, a full
nature
circle.
Is healing. It's
to see things come full circle in all this, because remember, we're through four games, no road team has won, so the series has not started. And so this is actually right where we should be. Multiverses are hot right now. Everyone's coming off the Loki finale here. Walk with me on this. So we can get to certainly plenty more of blaming Chris Paul. Also want to get to, there's some comments from Cam Newton on the morning show. He joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin today, talking about his situation with Mac Jones that we can get to in a little bit here. But Trev, looking at this series now, momentum is one of those things we can debate the veracity of.
Plenty
of people, myself included, aren't really huge on momentum as a real thing. But it certainly feels like Milwaukee grabbed the reins back on this series. They evened it up at 2-2 in a close one, much closer than game three in Milwaukee for this series. So, Trev, I still look at this. I picked Suns in seven, and this isn't me hugging my prediction necessarily as much as it is looking at this game and saying, all right, Chris Paul has been on a downward trajectory this entire series.
Yep.
I still believe enough in his ability to turn this around, especially at home and their role players, to say, I just saw enough of what I needed last night. I needed Phoenix to come out and make this thing close again. It can't be a 20-point blowout where you get swept up in the crowd. And so the fact that they had a chance to win this legitimately in the final minutes of this game showed me all I needed to say, when that team goes back with the benefit of the home field advantage, they're still the ones in control of the series.
Now, the legitimacy of that game may even be called into question, because there ain't no way in hell you're going to tell me that Devin Booker should have been on that floor.
Oh, my God.
But that's besides the point.
That's beside the point now. Adam Correct. Silver, send a gift basket to the folks over in Milwaukee. I mean, Chris Middleton, you need to get him like subconsciously moved into more of these top five lists or whatever he needs, because he saved everyone's hide at the league office.
Everybody. But I'm gonna go against the grain as well against you on I'm hugging my prediction, because I ain't got nothing else to hold on to at this point. I don't know where this is going to go. Me trying to determine who has control in this feels like a foolish thing to do, because, again, as you just said, every home team has won these contests, and I understand that the last one was close, but like prior to that, everybody had been getting doors. So it was like, I am not necessarily comfortable with the idea of saying that the Suns are in control. I am comfortable hugging my pick and saying Suns in six is what I originally said, but I'm not certain we're going to have a road team winner given how these things have bore out. So I when it comes to determining control, I can't necessarily give you a hard answer on that, but I'm going to ride out with the idea that the Suns will win all their home games. Ergo, they're going to win the series, and they have the best hand to play at this point.
Yeah, I think that's enough version of control in this, because so much of this seems predicated on the role players. Like, these teams, we talked about this going into the series, they're remarkably similar in the way the rosters are built out, meaning these are teams that were here to show off depth, that we're supposed to have guys that fit out these team concepts. I mean, Milwaukee's been building this for a couple of years. We talk so much about Phoenix going back to the bubble last year and that run that they went on before being left out of the actual postseason portion of that. And so I think there's a lot of similarities. And for that reason, like, I just keep looking out here and saying, all right, as much as I love him, former Notre Dame guy, can we count on Pat Connaughton to have that kind of effect night in and night out? Defensively, him and PJ Tucker, him and Bobby Portis, hell yeah, I can count on them in that regard. I mean, when you look at what they did, for all the great that Devin Booker did in the game last night, he came back with a vengeance. He made 16 contested field goals the entire game. Like, that's great from him, but it also shows you it's because he was overcoming adversity. Like, that Bucks defense, especially on the wings, was tenacious. And so I'm saying, at some point, we've seen that happen for campaign and the guys on that Phoenix roster as well. And if you give them two cracks at that in the home arena, it just feels like that's the only thing I can count on right now.
There were so many instances specifically for Devin Booker where you looked at his shot go in and said, there's nothing you can do about that.
Yes.
Like, it was just, and those are bound to happen specifically for Devin Booker on a regular basis. But for the role players, as you just said, that only typically occurs when they're in front of their home crowd, right? When Woodstock Skip Bayless is in the crowd floating on another planet in Phoenix, right? Like, that only occurs there. It is very, very select that we see those role players come out. Mikal Bridges, for example. Cam Johnson, for example.
Jay Crowder,
Cam Johnson killed the guy. That's somebody.
But, we still don't talk nearly enough about PJ Tucker having the courage to come back and show himself on the court in game four, let alone to go out there and defend to the level that he did. But I digress.
But yes, we digress, because Cam is not going to have stellar performances in an entire game, you would assume, when they go out on these road trips. So again, to your point, yes, the control is basically at the hands of the individual team that has more home games, and that is the Phoenix Suns.
Chenan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales. Control was on the Bucks side down the stretch. Here's Giannis Antetokounmpo, their star, on what the team did to make sure they held on to this in the fourth quarter.
Going down the stretch, we kept believing in ourselves. We kept executing. We kept setting screens. We kept getting stopped. We kept running. We kept rebounding the ball. We kept blocking shots. So we wanted this bad, and the team showed it tonight. But we got to keep getting better. Got to keep getting better. We got to keep taking steps forward and keep playing good basketball.
And I, you know, all of that is sound. All of that makes sense for Giannis Antetokounmpo and this Bucks team. And I said going into last night, for this game, we talked about Giannis back-to-back 40-point games in Game 2 and Game 3. Would he have to score that much for them to win? And it said it was the how, not how many. And we saw still the same mindset, even if it wasn't matched with the same production necessarily for Giannis in Game 4. It was that same mindset. It was how aggressive he was offensively. It was inserting himself the way he and so many others did on the offensive glass. And that's the area where we've seen Phoenix in prior round go out there and give people hell. Well, we've seen DeAndre Ayton be so effective. Now, part of last night was also, you talked about it with Devin Booker, we cannot ignore the officiating elephant in the room. Because I know we've talked to John Barry, who's been on the call for ESPN Radio a number of times, and he said he didn't believe the officials had had an effect on games early in this series the way both coaches had brought up publicly. The officials must have heard that, because they were one of the huge stories of last night. It felt like we got to whistle every possession during that game until we needed one when Devin Booker went up and clearly fouled someone with five fouls in that game. But you look at the way that has swung this series. This is a Suns team that certainly does not have depth in the middle, to where if DeAndre Ayton gets in any sort of trouble there, they are all of a sudden swimming upstream against a very large and very, very potent Bucks team.
You play in small against a team that has all the bigs in the world, right? That is the least optimal position for Phoenix to be in, right? You know how bad it has to be for your officiating to overshadow the idea that Scott Foster legislated a loss for Chris Paul once again, like the game prior. Everybody just kind of let that one ride.
We've so commonly accepted that. Like, chalk that one up to the game.
Yeah, no, we are still focused in on this one because of just how poor that officiating was. But again, to your point, right, it's not as though you can just put that in its own place and not act like it's a factor. But it does speak to just how much actually worked out for the Bucks outside of even the officiating that went down. Because there were gripes to be made on both sides of this thing, as far as Phoenix or Milwaukee having gripes against the officiating. So, like, that's one of those ones that you call a wash. It was just bad officiating overall. But the Bucks had things happen for them. Chris Middleton taking 30 shots, the most that he's taken in any game, regular postseason, showed a level of aggressiveness, to your word, and also the efficiency that he cashed in on 33 of them. Like, it was a matter of a lot of things working out for the Bucks that showed you what their ceiling was, to go back to another conversation we were having.
Yeah, Giannis and Chris Paul are going to set the floors for these teams. Middleton and Booker are going to determine the ceiling. And that's where we got to go next, because as we look at this series, one team's got clear cracks in the foundation right now. Can they get them patched up in time to maintain control? We'll get to that next here. Chenan Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenan Golick Jr., the podcast.
Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales. And Chris Paul, once again in this series, fell short last night in a big way. And I think the question that we're asking right now, or that most people seem to be asking, isn't the correct one. So I want to get to the right one. But We've now got a poll that's dominating this show's life cycle here. We got into a big debate earlier about the 3-in-1, 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner,
multi-use.
Body lotion.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, the multi-use cleaner, we'll call it, when you're bathing.
The Patrick Mahomes of shampoo.
Just boiled it down to like 409, a multi-purpose cleaner, dog. Come on now.
I mean, how else do you want me to describe it?
Describe it like that because that's how funky of a habit that is. Like, you can't be doing that.
Well, so we had Olivia, one of our great producers, at Olivia Mulvihill on Twitter, MULVIHILL, ask, is it okay to use a 3-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, body wash? We've got about 30 minutes left on this poll. We need your help voting. I have retweeted it. Everyone on the show has retweeted this, at Mike Golick Jr., at Trevor Scales. With 34 minutes left and 2,500 votes in right now, the answer is understandably 64.8% no. But what I have been shocked to see is the amount of people bringing this up, because I thought this for sure just skewed along racial lines, Trev. Mm-hmm. I am seeing a phenomenal number of bald men like myself saying, I don't got hair, so what's the difference? It's all skin.
Okay,
the balds are showing up.
It's more scalped hair than you're dealing with, like up top. I totally get that, right? But in that instance, would you not want something that takes a little bit better care of your skin then? Like, well, is that not the prioritization if you're clearly going that route?
I want to be clear. I, even on my bald head, use shampoo. Like, I am not among this class, but Robin Lundberg, shout out, my old co-host on First and Last Year.
I was down there with him at 98.7 ESPN, so shout out Robin.
Does a great job at SI. He tweeted and said, of course it's okay. Someone give me the actual difference between any of those products and I'll stop.
I ain't going to get into the scientific.
Robin's got good hair, too.
Like, yeah.
Got really
fantastic
good
hair. And I'm sure it might even be like, it might be elevated if he had so chosen to kind of incorporate a nice little shampoo and conditioner routine with his stuff that separates everything out, that allows you to get the maximum volume, if that's what he's looking for, just ability to quaff it the way that he does. Because again, gray hair, takes care of it, maintains it well, but I think it could be elevated. It's not about what you're necessarily, what you're preventing, but what you're missing out on in this instance. It's not about that.
This is really a built for speed or for comfort conversation here that we, and you know what? I'm glad we're having that conversation. So again, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter, we've got the poll. I've retweeted it. Olivia put the poll up here, and we've got about 30 minutes left. So we need your votes here. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. And Trev, it's time. We got to have the Chris Paul conversation again, because I'm going to give him credit. This is Chris Paul after the game last night. Putting it on him, the team had 17 turnovers in this game. In addition to giving up all the second chance opportunities, he said, this starts and ends with me.
It was me. I had five of them. You know what I mean? It was bad decision making. Timely, we down two, and I tried to cross over right there, slip, turn it over. Had some bad passes in the first half. You know what I mean? They got, you know, a significant amount more shots than us. And so, you know, for me, I got to take care of the ball. We got 17 turnovers. We shoot the ball too well not to have those opportunities to score.
And just to give you an idea of how bad and ill-timed these turnovers were, Chris Paul had two turnovers in clutch time. So the final 5 minutes of the game where the score was within 5 points, that led directly to two Bucks layups. He's got 8 turnovers in 152 minutes of clutch time all season entering game 4. Like, this has been the MO for Chris Paul. He doesn't do these things, and so I'm trying to figure out why, Trev. Like, as you watch this, do you look and see something wrong with Chris Paul that we might be missing?
I don't think – it's very clear. He knows it. The world knows it, and, like, his coach knows it. It's very apparent. Like, the turnovers are the issue. 15 turnovers in the last 3 games. He hasn't had that type of stretch in a postseason since 2012, the very first year that he was with the Clippers. And, again, when it comes to this blame that we're assigning, it's also a testament to just how much credit we're willing to give him, right? Like, all of that is sort of the full circle nature of this discussion when it comes to Chris Paul, because as much as we want to lift him up and sort of bring up the legacy thing, when it came to him making the finals for the first time in his 16-year career, it was great. It was wonderful. We were ready to just celebrate him and give him all the flowers. But the moment that this sort of stretch happens,
It was going to come out regardless. And I know some folks are out here doing it just because they don't like CP3. But it was a very real thing that we had experienced in watching him for his 16-year career. That faltering late that you hope doesn't happen.
And, well, in the past, we've also remembered it being tied to injury. We know famously that series when he played with Houston against Golden State was the hamstring.
Yep.
And there's a lot of people looking at Chris Paul now. I saw Ryan Russillo last night tweeting about, you know, his wrist, him kind of flexing that. We saw him deal with a hand that he dismissed in the last series. And so there's part of me that's always going to wonder, even if we don't hear about it, because it doesn't seem like him or Monty Williams or anyone else is going to talk about that, if that affects it. And what a sad state of affairs that would be, because we came into this and said, Chris Paul's legacy as a 16-year NBA vet is ironclad to me. But just on a personal level, knowing what was at stake for him, because we can talk about with Giannis. Giannis is, I think, getting ready to operate in a different weight class, two-time MVP, defensive player of the year. And at this young, like, we'll have that conversation another day about a 26-year-old that may potentially have the resume he soon has. But Chris Paul, we're getting into last opportunities territory. Like, as good as we think the Suns team can be, we know how much the world is going to change next year around the NBA. And so that's the part of me that feels terrible, is they can't win the series if he continues playing like this. So whether it's blame or whatever, the responsibility is there on him. And if it continues to look like this, it's going
to
fail.
Responsibility is the perfect word to assign to what it is weighing on Chris Paul's shoulder as they navigate through this. Because, I mean, beyond him being the extension of the coach, as Monty has said time and time again on the court, like, he's the reason for the psyche for each and every one of those players that's out there. There was a moment, I think, when Jay Crowder or somebody was had come down funny, like had injured an ankle or something, and Chris Paul yelling on behalf of Monty Williams, "Are you okay? Do you need to come out?" Like, just that sort of,
yeah,
it embodies exactly what Chris Paul is for that team. Like, he is the one that kind of has to be the cooler head that prevails. And even if he has a poor performance, he certainly can't show outwardly that he's rattled or that there's something amiss with him, because it, again, rests on his shoulders when it comes to a responsibility standpoint.
It does. He's supposed to be that
right
in the middle of all of this. And we saw it perfectly play out last night. The Suns were turning the ball over, led by him on their offensive end. On the other side, how many second chances did we see? Not Drew Holiday make a play even at the rim, but get another opportunity, wheel the ball out and say, "Hey, we got the clock on our side here." That's what Chris Paul is supposed to be for the other side. And if he can't do that, this team has a lot of problems, despite what we think they can still do in this series. So, at Mike Golic Jr., at Trevor Scales, make sure you vote on our poll about the 3-in-1 body cleaners.
Don't.
I mean vote on the poll.
I mean, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, vote on the poll.
Good clarification.
Don't use what Trevor's saying, the body cleaners here. Very much vote on the poll here. We're about these clicks. Coming up next, though, as we look forward towards the 2021 NFL season, training camps only a couple of weeks away here, we'll tell you why Cam Newton said this year is put up or shut up in New England. We'll do that after this word from Rumble On. Does the thought of selling your motorcycle, ATV, or vehicle already make you exhausted? There's no need to keep putting it off, because RumbleOn.com is going to make selling easy. Selling anything is difficult, getting up the effort and the energy to try and get anything out there, let alone an actual vehicle. All you got to do is this. You're going to have cash offers in minutes, and you get a free pickup. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha, trade-in, or sell. All of it available with Rumble On. And the best part, they'll pay cash no matter what the make or model. See what RumbleOn.com can do for you by visiting RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash. What did Cam Newton have to say about the impending quarterback battle with Mac Jones? Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales here on Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Trev, the guys on KJZ, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning, got a chance to talk to Cam Newton. And I don't know where you're at with this. I have been fascinated by the career turn by Cam Newton in the last year. We can have a lot of conversations about what's gone on with his arm, how viable it is going forward, but seeing Cam Newton and the way he's responded to different situations in this last year in a new environment, coming into one of the toughest situations possible, already had a lot of respect for what he's done as a pro, but a lot of respect for this late career change that he's got going.
You know, I think it unearthed for a lot of people just like the type of player and locker room presence Cam Newton is. I think from afar, if you look at the wild get-ups that he wears, like the flamboyant texts that he uses, and oftentimes indiscernible texts that he uses, right? Like,
there's no defense.
Not here to do so.
No,
just to be clear, right? But there's one perception that you can have based off of little elements that you pull from his public sort of persona. But what being in New England, being under the lights that he is there, being under the circumstances that he is there, has brought to light, in my opinion, what has always been there for Cam Newton, which is a fantastic teammate, a willing leader, a one that is willing to get his hands dirty in whatever circumstance may be in front of him in order to get the greater good done for the entire roster.
And coming into a situation, by the way, following a legend, like, who wants to be the guy after the guy in a place like New England? And Cam Newton talked about that this morning, the pressure that he did or didn't feel having to follow in Tom Brady's footsteps in New England.
It goes back to putting a lot of things into perspective. This is not a me versus him thing. This is not a, you know, as far as I see it, it's more about what we do, you know, how our approach is, you know, moving forward. He is an exceptional talent. You know, we all know that. And it needs no debate. So, you know, for me, it's controlling the things that I can't control, my preparation, my outlook on the game, you know, doing things that I know I can and am capable of doing. And that's what it is.
And listen, that sounds great to say right now, and I can imagine Cam Newton with all the confidence that he is endowed with just as a human being. He's built different than most of us in that regard. I'm sure he walked into this and was confident, but I would say, too, to be able to weather that during the season, like, he got benched in a portion of last year. That season did not go the way Patriots fans are used to. And so for him to come in and do all that, because I don't think he should be the starter for them this year. I think Mac Jones, you drafted him in the first round. You need to get a look at him. I think all these rookie quarterbacks are going to end up playing and starting for the vast majority of this season. I think Mac Jones should probably be in that category, but I think Cam Newton's going to give him hell along the way. I think Cam Newton's going to be a great effect on that cause in the locker room.
I think that it should be, in my estimation, I'm not sold on the idea that Mac Jones needs to start. I think it is inevitable that he will. But I'm almost willing to allow this to play out as a smooth gradient into the Mac Jones era in New England, because I could absolutely see a situation playing out where Cam Newton, with a non-COVID offseason, being able to build his body back, being able to mentally be there, because we've known and discussed the many different things that COVID-19 could affect as far as your body goes. Him having a full non-COVID, in air quotes, offseason, and being put in a position to potentially start for the New England Patriots, I could see him winning out that job fair and square, and also based off the strength of his veteran presence. And then when play could go poorly, Mac Jones ended up sliding in because the Patriots see it as a we have nothing to lose mindset by the time that we get to about week 7-8 of the regular season.
Yeah, it's interesting to look at where the Patriots have kind of positioned themselves after this offseason, because they didn't spend like a team that's looking to go out here with nothing to lose. Like, they spent like a team that said, all right, we went 7-9 last year and we don't like how that tastes around here. Like, Bill Belichick saw Tom Brady, the guy who he spent 20 years with in a marital bed, all the sudden go and leave and have great success with his new girlfriend down in Tampa. And so now for this team, you look around and it's interesting because Mac Jones and Cam Newton are also two people with very different skill sets. It's not like you brought a quarterback into that room. Like I always said in Cleveland, when you had Baker Mayfield behind Tyrod Taylor, there was a lot of things about both of those guys that felt similar. Like you could design the offense that was going to be the same for both. So I don't know how that necessarily works as far as weaning Mac Jones along in camp. Cam Newton also talked about this with the guys this morning on if he looks at Mac Jones as his direct competition.
Man, I look at everybody as competition. I look at y'all as competition. You know what I'm saying? So you're talking to a competitor. You know, I look for any and everything to drive me and to push me to my greatest self. So, you know, no type of clickbait to just say, you know, oh my God, mac and cheese, or, you know, Cam views him as competition. I look at everything as competition. I look at last season's production as competition, you know. So, yeah, I take it personal. Yeah, I take it, you know, in a way that I know who I am. You know, at times I do remind myself, people forget who you are and what you've done. So now, you know, I'm in a position now where, you know, I need to be my best self and it's really put up or shut up time.
And I can understand that for Cam wanting to go out on his terms, but you watched him time and time. And I know we talked about the COVID offseason affecting preparation for a lot of teams and a lot of people in new places. I just looked at the physical limitations. Like, we've seen the injuries slowly add up with Cam in a way I'm just not sure that you can come back from.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. Like, who's to say that even if he has the best start to the season he has had in quite some time, if he will be available to the Patriots by the time. And there's like a Wally Pipp situation that goes on when Mac Jones steps in. I also want to go back to that. Did he mention mac and cheese in his answer?
Yeah, so okay. He went Mac because that was the nickname that he gave Mac Jones.
Got it. Okay.
How Cam Newton does that thing, okay, where he gives everybody nicknames.
That's all I wanted to address just real quick in all of that. I had that brain spark and I had to write it down when we were listening to the sound. In any case, yeah, no, it is going to be largely contingent upon his availability and also just what direction the Patriots want to go. Because as you said, that's two different offenses if you're looking at both of those quarterbacks. And I don't know how they're in a precarious position of what are you going to do to give a commonality within the offense that allows you to easily switch if need be, because it's not just the one position you're looking to change that offense for. It's going to be all 11, right? Inevitably, all 11 on that field for an offense have to alter their mindset and pace about going the game if those two quarterbacks are interchanging.
Yeah, because we're looking at two quarterbacks who, and Cam Newton for the longest time, I mean, you go all the way back again, his college season in 2011 is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, single season by a player. Just because of what he did, like, he could overcome so much about what was going on around him. That was true in Carolina, where for years I didn't think they protected him well enough, the team or the officials, that in that conversation. But now I don't think Cam's at that place physically where the things that made him truly special for so long are as available to him. We saw some of it last year to work where Mac Jones, completely different. He was in an offense where he excelled. He was also dependent on some of the skill around him to an extent. He's a little more of an older school model, something more akin to what they saw with Tom Brady as far as not being able to bail you out. But I think where this team is at, what they've become with the pieces that are coming back around him, from the COVID-19 opt-outs last year, from free agency, could be really helpful to a rookie quarterback if they want to get him out there on the field early. Now, at Mike Golic Jr., at Trevor Scales on Twitter, we need you to keep voting in this poll that we got up right now. We got a lot happening here.
Look here.
Is it okay to use the multi-purpose body wash lotions? And Doug Dyer tweeted into us here. The 3-in-1 body cleaner was developed for persons aged 15 to 22. Preferably athletes, and I would posit in there based on the response we saw, almost 100% male. He said, anyone that pays their own rent or mortgage should have graduated to products with a specific purpose. With one caveat here, 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, specifically for single men and for travel use. Where are we at on that?
That is an acceptable answer. I personally use a co-wash, a conditioner wash, one that does not strip the moisture from your hair. These curls don't just come naturally. Your boy got to work for them. There is a functionality to having, specifically to hair, a wash and conditioner in one. That is acceptable. I appreciate the nuance that he got it, even with the age bracket that those products were geared to, but I wholeheartedly agree in that once you graduate out of that space in your life, go ahead and just specialize a little bit more.
We got about 20 minutes left in this poll here. We are on our way closer to the truth in this. Again, big time journalism happening on the show today. But coming up next, we got to sit you down in the old therapy chair here and talk about one person's worst mistake dominating last night's events. We'll get to that next here. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Get to some people who are realizing they may have made a mistake today. Because we all understand that moment. You got to put the hand up and own your mistakes. And one person in sports had to do that in a big, big way last night. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Trevor Scales in today. An odds maker around the WNBA All-Star Game had a big oh no situation pop up for him. But Trev, I want to make you aware of this first, because we've talked so much today about the different combo body lotions around here and things of that nature. I forgot about the goat in this conversation. The Irish Springs 5-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, body, face, and 24-hour deodorizer.
24-hour deodorizer?
24-hour deodorizer.
No, see, there's so much wrong with this entire discussion at its at its like sort of critical point, but where, because those things are doing one of two things. They are either doing entirely too much for your body, or they aren't doing enough. Because ain't no way in Sam Hill you're going to sit here and tell me that a body wash is going to deodorize you for 24 hours and you ain't got to add no spray or no stick to help that out. No. No, there's no way. So that product is doing either entirely too much for you or not enough, because you out here either funky or just sanitized to a point of oblivion so that your skin is now like sandpaper.
We got to that point. It was like with razors where we had the Quintipio, that one they made fun of in a commercial one time. I wonder if it stopped at 5. Like, we've got to do, Travis, I'm going to put you, our producer, on top of this to find if we went past 5-in-1 for any of these at any point here. But we got to get to everyone's biggest mistake right now. And 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The biggest mistake you've ever made at work. We need that right now, because this is what happened to one odds maker who caused an historic line movement in the WNBA All-Star game. So the over-under total on the WNBA All-Star game that took place last night moved by more than 50 points, an historic number that a Las Vegas odds maker called the worst mistake I ever made. The Las Vegas sportsbook Circa Sports, the first to hang an over-under on the point total scored in the game, opened at 248.5. An hour before the game tipped off, that total was sitting at 195.5. The 53-point movement was the largest shift that multiple veteran sportsbookers could ever recall, and it wasn't caused by an attempt at corruption or a rush of big wagers. Instead, it was simply a mistake by an odds maker that was short on time. Buddy showed up late, just fired off the first number that came to his head, and then said, "Oh my God, I've made a mistake."
And that's one you cannot take back. Like, all the money in the world could not make that bet, like, that number go away in your mind. Because I just want to know, like, where how bad was this mistake to the point where, like, what was the original intent to kind of set that number? Because if 53 was what came out of your mind, I was trying to rationalize, okay, did he mean to go like I was literally, I couldn't find any number in there that could, like, possibly be the attempted number.
Oh yeah, no, there was just
it was chaos. He walked in there and just punched up numbers and dipped. I
award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul. Now, this immediately brought me back to, I was calling a game last year. You're talking about mistakes made during sports. I was calling a game last year. It was Tulane and Tulsa playing on a Thursday night, so we had the stage just to ourselves, and that was a game that Tulane was up very late in that game. Looked like they had put it away. And with about 2 minutes left, I made the comment of basically insinuating this is over, saying Tulane, as they were kicking the field goal, has all but ended this thing. The announcer curse, the one thing you're not supposed to do to bring people back to a game or anything else here. Tulsa proceeds to, in a two-minute span, score multiple touchdowns, send that game to overtime, and then Zaven Collins, their best player, intercepts a pass and takes it for a walk-off touchdown the other way to win that game for them in dramatic fashion. I sat there walking out of there as disparaged and down and out as I was after any game I ever played in, knowing just how bad I had goofed.
Just down terrible. Like, you, and it's the worst, because it's not even, I'm going to say that it's not a real thing, but everybody knows it's a real thing, like the announcer jinx.
It's a very real thing. And I thought, you know what? All right, you know what? Maybe this wouldn't come up. It ends up in a fashion. I mean, people were replaying that walk-off. It was one of the plays of the year. Zaven Collins was a future top round draft pick.
Yes.
He was the best player making the biggest play that ran in every media outlet the next day.
That was the one highlight I had from Zaven Collins in my mind.
Yes.
When you said the name, right?
Yes.
Like, that specific touchdown was the one. Biggest mistake. I wish I could come up with a one that was good enough for me, because, like, I've done the curse, like, whatever have you, but
We can give you time to think of one here. An 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. The biggest mistake you've made at work in honor of the Vegas odds maker who decided to choose utter violence when setting the point total line for the WNBA All-Star game. But coming up next, we'll get back to the NBA Finals. We'll take a look because we got some time right now before we get ready for Game 5 of this thing. The series is going to shift back to Phoenix. But what version of Chris Paul is coming with them on the plane? We'll try and figure that out next here. Janae and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., and Trevor Scales on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.